Rod's Pulse Podcast Number 82. E-Textbooks, Are We There Yet? Interview with Scott Bettenkopp.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back.
One cup of coffee, and I like to have another cup of coffee with my breakfast. And on the way to work, I like to get a cup of coffee, like the kind of cup of coffee that you get with the donuts. I never get the donut, I just have the cup of coffee. And when I get to work, I like to have a cup of coffee, because I like to have coffee when I'm talking on the phone. It usually goes cold, and I need to get another cup of coffee, and it's lunch, and I have an espresso. It's not morning anymore, so I have a Diet Cola and another Diet Cola. But then I'm feeling fine, and I'm feeling pretty sharp, and I'm feeling pretty wired, and I'm getting things done. But right about 2, I get this little tiny migraine. It starts by my eyes, and it moves to the back of my neck, and it moves to the bottom of my spine. But it doesn't get there till 5 or 6 o'clock, which is the end of the day, so I'm fine, so I'm fine, so I'm fine.
I thought you might get a kick out of that. That's a song called Stressed by the highly caffeinated Jim Infantino of the band called Jim's Big Ego. I actually met him not too long ago in Ardmore. His group was playing at the Milk Boy Cafe. Stay tuned at the end of my podcast and you can hear the full song called Stress. Before I move on to today's interview, I thought I would tell you about 3 different articles and websites I found. You can find links to all of these, by the way, on my podcaster guide and e-learning news. That's at www.podcaster-guide.com. The first one is called Internet Archive, A Future for Books. I don't know if you're familiar with the Internet Archive, but now they've branched out more into books. They say that the widespread success of digital reading devices has proven that the world is ready to read books on screens. They have BookServer, which is an open system to find, buy, and borrow books, just like you would use an open system to find websites. The second is entitled eTextbook Program Aims to Benefit Students and Professors. The program is a result of a large grant from the U.S. Department of Education's Fund for Improvement of Post-Secondary Education, and it commissions professors to create text, personalized specific classes, and to put them in a digital format that will bring textbook prices down from their average cost of $100 to a much more moderate $15. And the third is an article on embracing electronic textbooks. Beyond the money-saving feature for students, electronic textbooks offer convenience for professors. The third one is an article on embracing electronic textbooks. Beyond the money-saving features for students, electronic textbooks offer convenience for professors who can easily review a new textbook online and then make a quick decision to include it in a course. In fact, this last one is all about CourseSmart, and we'll be hearing more about that in a moment. Now I'd like to introduce my interview with Scott Bettenkopp. Scott is a friend and former colleague of mine, who's now the Director of Academic Technology at Newman University, and he's also on the online learning staff at Drexel University. So here we go. Here's my interview with Scott Bettenkopp on e-textbooks.
Scott, thanks for joining me on my podcast. And for our audience, the topic we're going to be talking about is e-books and e-book readers. I like your title because, you know, I think some of these devices and systems are sort of more like in the beta phase, I think. So, Scott, tell me a little bit about what we're going to talk about today, and maybe we can go in and start talking about the ebook publishers.
Sure, Rod. I'm glad to be with you here today. I've been looking at the ebook and ebook readers as a inveterate techie and gadget guy. I've been interested to know, are ebooks and ebook readers something we are really ready to recommend to faculty and students? So what I want to do here is just lay out a little bit of the context, what's around this, and look at who are the textbook publishers that would be using these devices, then look at the devices themselves, and do a little crystal ball gazing. So the context here is that the publishers of textbooks in particular are facing a lot of in terms of trying to make a profit because they have a responsibility to their shareholders. In particular, a problem they face is that textbooks are sold more than once, but they only profit the first time the textbooks are sold, and there's a huge used market in textbooks. And of course, students feel one way about this, and the publishers feel another way. And then they're also under pressure from the internet and Google, in particular the Google Books Project. The textbook publishers are terrified of losing their intellectual property. And as a result of really the cost of textbooks, there's a very thriving open source movement, real rebellion, I think, from both faculty and students to try to develop some cheaper way of providing texts for students. I'm going to begin by talking about CourseSmart, because CourseSmart is a really promising but tradition-based, really, approach to electronic textbooks. So CourseSmart is an independent company, but all of the major textbook publishers have now signed on to this. And the numbers on this slide are larger if we went up to their website now. What's exciting about this is that they have created a common format for electronic textbooks that all of these publishers have agreed to. They're trying to market it, as they say on this slide, for savings of about 50% for students and to instructors as a convenient way of reviewing and using textbooks.
Do you have to buy a subscription of any kind, or is it just book by book?
It's totally book by book. The textbook rep, the publisher's rep, is a person faculty members are often familiar with. They call their rep to get exam copies. And so they can call their rep and say, tell me about the CourseSmart version of this text. Is there one or whatever? Great feature of the CourseSmart text is that they're page identical to the paper text, so that if you tell your students go to page 323, it will be the same whether they're in the electronic version or the print version. You can see maybe that there's some watermarking behind this, but other than that, the visual representation is very nice. A full color, the text is clear, it's quite readable.
It looks pretty. It certainly leaves out black and white readers like Kindle, I'm sure, but you'll be probably mentioning that.
Here's just some of the publishers that using the CourseSmart format.
Yeah, some familiar names there.
If you look at this image here, you'll see that there are previous and next buttons. You can see there's a green bar to the left, kind of like the Kindle. There are forward and back buttons along the sides of the screen as well. You can also navigate through the table of contents. You can see it's got go to, where you can go to a page number, and you can also search.
Can you search an entire library of books that you might have?
An instructor can. I would guess that's available to the student too, and you can see there's a search my e-textbooks field up there so that the instructor can search across all of the textbooks in his or her library.
This represents two books that you've purchased or are reviewing in the CourseSmart system?
Exactly.
Must you be connected to the web the entire time, or do you actually download the books?
For instructors, they must be connected to the web. Students have the option for each book of choosing whether to read it on the internet from any computer or download it to one computer. I mean, that's kind of an uncomfortable decision to have to make, because when you're reading it on the web, as you can imagine, you don't instantly go to the next page. It has to be downloaded. Though I've found, you know, with a good connection, they download quickly. It's not instantaneous, but, you know, not bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
The other restrictions for the students is that when they buy one of these textbooks, it's for 180 days. So it's not really a purchase, it's kind of a lease.
A rental.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
And even though it costs half what the new print version would cost, the student can't resell it. As anybody who's been around a university knows, at the end of the term, the students are at the bookstore to get something back from their purchases.
I see. But if you had a student that wanted to essentially keep the book, there's no other purchase option? They really would have to continue leasing the book?
Right.
I see that as a major drawback, at least for serious students that, you know, want to collect the library books. I guess if you wanted that, you would buy the hard copy. Forget about the online.
Yeah, that's it. And besides, I guess it's, you can't really show off an electronic book on your bookshelf.
That's right.
Okay, I'm going to look at a couple of other publishers now. One called Connections is on the opposite end of the spectrum. This is very open source. So the books are very much kits. Faculty can, as you'll see on this slide, get an account, make a module, and publish your own works.
Uh-huh.
So, and the books on Connections vary enormously in their quality and in their depth and, you know, professionalism.
Is there a way to have peer review, though?
So Connections has some books that are, you know, that are kind of featured as, you know, full sets. You know, I don't really have the answer to that question. I think that there is some kind of peer review here, but at the moment I don't remember what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But for instance, this Concept Development Studies in Chemistry is a full set, really could be for a complete chemistry course.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is really a profit-making enterprise. There's no charge for using any of the materials online. And you can see you have the options of downloading without charge at all the particular module or the collection or a zip file containing all of the multimedia files. And this is totally without charge. The only things you pay for with Connections, if you want to print $13.72, you can order a printed version of the text.
I see.
Just to take another publisher that's in kind of between those two, Flat World Knowledge is a publisher with a much smaller number of texts, and they're definitely in it to make money. And you can see from this price list that you can buy the print it yourself book for $20 or the full color printed version for $60. And then they have this best deal package, which includes the related materials, you know, PowerPoints and so forth. The Flat World Knowledge books, from what I've been able to see from reviewing a few of them, are really good quality. You know, I think they're right up there with the traditional publishers. They have, each chapter has these learning objectives, lots of pretty pictures. They're customizable. Unlike the CourseSmart texts, you can actually choose which chapters. You can even add your own materials to a Flat World text.
Did I see that you can read the entire book online for free?
And you can read the entire book online for free.
Well, that's certainly a positive.
Yes. But if you want to print it out, then you do pay. So all of these e-books have some common benefits compared to the very heavy and bulging knapsacks that the college students are carrying around. They're lightweight. They're all searchable. Environmentally friendly in the sense that they don't cause waste in the waste stream, but they all do require power and electricity to read, to download. I couldn't tell you exactly what the differences in energy use are between an electronic book that's been downloaded and put on a notebook versus a paper version. For use in class, it's easy to display from any of these books. You could easily pick a page or a chart and put it up on the screen. One of the biggest problems I've heard with books other than CourseSmart is if you say, okay, let's all turn to such and such a page, if they're not page identical, you know, the faculty have a hard time telling their students what page to go to, because it would depend on what device you were reading it on. So while it's great if you have text that will flow no matter what device, for instance, you can read some of these texts on, say, a very small screen, where if your text flows, you might only show 15 lines of text. And the same text would flow to 60 lines on a larger screen. So a page on one screen is very different from a page on another screen. So then you have to say, let's go to chapter 5, section 2, line 6, or
right,
or table 3.1.
Oh, this is good. This is a good comparison then between the three that we just talked about.
Right. And now I just picked these three, the CourseMart, because it really is the main player out there in the commercial side. But on the open source side, Connections is definitely not the only player. And there's certainly Google Books and a variety of other kind of startups, both nonprofit and for-profit, in the more open source area.
Good that you mentioned Google Books, because I know that's, I hear a lot about that, about the, you know, agreements with the, you know, authors, guilds and the publishers, and I'm not sure where that stands right now. Do you have any idea what's happening with Google Books?
I couldn't tell you everything about it, but I think Google Books, along with some of the book readers, has adopted a common format for display, the EPUB format. I tried to go online and find a Google book that was actually in the EPUB format, and I couldn't find one, but I'm sure there are some out there. Google Books has also, they have reached agreements with some libraries. I think, you know, they announced recently that they'd reached agreements with some publishers, but, you know, how solid that agreement is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So just briefly on this page, CourseMart looks great. It has a lot of features going for it, but because the publishers don't want to lose their intellectual property, they're locked down and they expire. You can print, you can copy pieces of text from the textbooks, so it's not a bad format at all.
Mm-hmm.
Connections is very much some assembly required. And then Flat World Knowledge is really worth looking at, but they have just a limited number of titles.
Mm-hmm.
CourseMart is really trying to push their texts to faculty as a quick way to review titles. So they now have an instant review feature, where if you go on and find a book that you'd like to take a look at, you can instantly get access to 24 pages. So you could go out, if you wanted to get a new biology text, you could go out and check off the 6 or 8 texts that you'd like to compare, bring them into your CourseMart, and even use their library search to search across all of the textbooks for how they deal with mitosis in the cell.
Hope you enjoyed that. Next time, we'll be doing a similar interview, except we'll be focusing on the e-reader end of the e-textbook spectrum. So don't forget to stay tuned and listen to the full song, Stress, by Jim's Big Ego. Until next time, have a great week.
Please leave Rod feedback at
616-216-2199. Coming at you. Addicted to stress, that's the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I sleep too long, and I hang around like a bum. I think I'm going nowhere, and that makes me nervous. Everybody's out to get me, but I feel alright. Everybody's out to get me, but I feel alright. Everybody's out to get me, but I feel alright. Everybody's thinking about me. It's the little things that get you. It's the little things that get you when you weren't paying attention. It's the little things that get you. It's the little things that get you. It's the little things that get you when you weren't paying attention. Trying to cut down on my caffeine consumption, so when I get up, I just have one cup of coffee, and I like to have another cup of coffee with my breakfast. And on the way to work, I like to get a cup of coffee, like the kind of cup of coffee that you get with the donuts. If I never get the donut, I just have the cup of coffee. And when I get to work, I like to have a cup of coffee, because I like to have a coffee when I'm talking on the phone. It usually goes cold, and I need to get another cup of coffee, and it's lunch, and I have an espresso. Back. It's not morning anymore, so I have a Diet Cola and another Diet Cola. But then I'm feeling fine, and I'm feeling pretty sharp, and I'm feeling pretty wired, and I'm getting things done. But right about 2, I get this little tiny migraine. It starts by my eyes, and it moves to the back of my neck, and it moves to the bottom of my spine. But it doesn't get there till 5 or 6 o'clock, which is the end of the day. So I'm fine, so I'm fine, so I'm fine.
So I'm fine, so I'm fine. Except when I have to work late, when I have to work late, which I usually do. Addicted to stress, that's the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I sleep too long. And I hang around like a bum, and I think I'm going nowhere, and that makes me nervous. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's thinking about me. Hey, how you doing? Looking good. You been working out? Yeah, I can tell. Alright, see you later. I love to work, I love to roll, I love to play real hard. I love to steal little things from the grocery store, like a piece of bubble gum, or sometimes I just stick my thumb in a peach and leave it there. I love to work, I love to roll, I love to water ski, snowboard, jet ski, skydive, parasail, hang glide, rollerblade, mountain bike, bungee jump. Well, I mean, I'd love to do these things if I ever had the time. I love to work, I love to work, I love to work out after work. I love to spend a little time with this one I'm seeing, except we never really get all time to spend together, so we call each other up and we talk about work. But what I think I really love is to get up on myself on a little tiny island in the middle of the ocean with just me and a book and a cellular phone and a personal computer in case something came up. And I'd eat and I'd drink and I'd run and I'd sleep and I wouldn't do nothing except swim all day. So, you know, my beeper doesn't work underwater. Where are the sharks? Where are the sharks? Where are the sharks? And there's this kind of anemone that sticks in your foot and the poison goes up to your brain and you die. And say it, please. Say it, please. Yuck. But actually, I think it'd be really relaxing. Just me by myself in the middle of the ocean. And that's what I really love to do more than anything else, except I probably hate it. Addicted to stress, that's the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I sleep too long. And I hang around like a bum. I think I'm going nowhere and that makes me nervous. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's thinking about me, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences in Philadelphia or any other institution or company.